mums and dads. Yeah, so we've got a whole generation thing going on here. So we had, they are all part of one family now. I know something that I don't think you know. Do you know that they also belong to another family? Oh, who thinks they know what that other family is?
God.
God's family. That is so right. Round of applause. Because Paddy and Salah have decided that they have an earthly family with their mum and dad, but also God has invited them to become part of his family, to become adopted into his family. And so they, Paddy and Salah, are now sons and daughters of God. Isn't that exciting? I think that's fantastic news. Now, I have been... You see? There's God. Well, do you know what, actually? I was weighing up this week whether I could put a picture of God on the PowerPoint, and I decided that it was a bit too difficult to know what he actually looked like, so you just have to imagine his presence. So I've been reading a book in the Bible called Philippians this week. Now, Philippians sounds a bit weird, but basically that just means that Paul started a church of people who lived in Philippi, and so it was called Philippians when he wrote to them. If he'd been to Dublin, the book would have been called Dubliners. But he didn't. So we've got to make do with Philippians. And Paul is so excited about the people who lived in Philippi. Because do you know what they were? Those people were the first people in the whole of Europe. Europe is pretty big, huh? The whole of Europe to discover that God had flung open the doors of his family home and said, come on in. Isn't that amazing? The first people in the whole of Europe to discover that because of Jesus' death and rising again, God can fling open the doors to his family home and invite all of us to become part of his family. And we are going to look at what that means for us today. Now, hands up who has either had a baby or looked after a very young baby. Well, all of you at the back, all of you adults at the back who are clearly parents or have looked after kids, come on, hands up. Because I want the kids down the front to see just how many people have looked after babies. Look, all those people have looked after babies, held little babies, looked after even their aunts or uncles. Now, Zach is now 18 months old, but I remember for the first few months, what do babies do?
Cry.
What else do they do?
Sleep.
What? Eat. Go to the toilet. They do booze everywhere. In fact, pretty much, I felt sometimes that having a baby wasn't so much a bundle of joy as a bundle of very hard work. Who would agree? Yes. We all know having a baby can be very hard work. But what does that baby need? That baby right now, did you help her? Well, high five for you. Woo! Baby needed just unconditional love, didn't it? When we were all really little, we couldn't do anything. We couldn't change our diaper. We couldn't feed ourselves. We need our mums and dads' unconditional love for us. And do you know what? The first thing that happens when we join God's family is that is the first thing he wants us to know. He wants us to know that he loves us, and he loves us, and he loves us even when we do dirty diapers. This is what God the Father said to Jesus when he was baptized. Now, this is before Jesus had done anything. Jesus had just rocked up. He hadn't got any good marks in his exams. He hadn't done anything particularly exciting. He hadn't got a job. He hadn't done anything. God the Father said to him, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now, that is what Jesus wants to say to all of us today. He wants to say, you are my son or my daughter, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And this is just what he thinks about us. Now, before I go on, I forgot to get the reading, actually. And what I'm going to do is that's going to help you with the next bit. So I'm going to invite Daphne up, who's going to come and do our reading and backtrack. And we'll learn about God's love again in a minute.
Great.
Thank you.
So this is the reading that Paul wrote to the Philippians. Now, not the Paul that was there playing the guitar, handsome as he is, but the Paul 2,000 years ago. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers.
It's not on. It is now.
Okay.
thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he, that's God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. That's when Christ comes back again. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern, that means to know, what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, and that you will be filled with righteousness that comes from Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Thank you so much, Daphne. That's fantastic. So these people, high five, too right. So these people, they already know about God's love because Paul has come and he's told them, and they've said, yeah, I want some of that. I want to become part of the God's family. So we've imagined, haven't we, that baby that just poops a lot and cries a lot and just needs a lot of love. But what happens next? What happens when a baby gets that little bit older and that baby just starts perhaps crawling to the edge of platforms and deciding whether to fall off or not, or perhaps gets a little bit close to the fire? What do mums and dads have to start doing?
Keeping the baby away from danger.
They do. They have to. You've got an idea too?
Taking care.
They want to make sure their new baby makes good choices about what they should and they shouldn't do. Let's look at the next slide. So as that baby gets older, the mums and dads have to say, do eat that food, that's really tasty. Or don't hit your sister, that's not very nice. And to the sister, do say sorry to your brother, he didn't really mean to hit you. And that's what happens next as we grow up in the family of God. First of all, God the Father really wants us to know just how much he loves us and how proud he is of us. And then God the Holy Spirit, now he does loads of pretty cool things. But one of the cool things he does is he is really good at teaching us how to make good choices in our life. Sometimes we have to make really difficult choices. Now you guys back there, this is really for you, because do you know what I've found as I've got older? I've had to make harder and harder choices. And choices stop being black and white, don't they, and become loads of shades of grey. I could do it this way, I could do it this way, I could do it this way, and I could do it this way. And really, there's no wrong and there's no right. There's just an awful lot of I'm not quite sure. And that's why I need the Holy Spirit so much in my life, because he's really good at helping us to make good choices. This is what it said in Philippians, if you remember what Daphne said. This is my prayer, that you may be able to discern, that's know, what is best. Wouldn't that be brilliant? Just imagine if you were at school and there was a new person at school and you didn't really know what to say to them, or if you wanted to talk to them, or if you didn't. And what God tells us is that we can pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what should we do? And he'd give us a hand. So that's what happens next. Just imagine that little child growing up. Now, we've shown them how much we love them. We're beginning to teach them how to make good choices. Now, this is when the fun really starts, because we get to share with them, and John and I get to share with Zach the things that we really love. Now, John doesn't know I'm going to show this, but John, one of his favourite things to do is to watch football, and he supports Chelsea. So this is our son, Zach. Woo! This is our son, Zach, watching or sleeping his way through his first Chelsea football match at 4 days old. He is, in fact, already on his second Chelsea outfit. Isn't that great? John loves hanging out with Zach and telling Zach about the things that he enjoys doing. You see, the thing is that John gets to spend time with Zach, who he loves, and then he gets to share with his son, whom he loves, the things that he loves to do. And you know what? That is exactly the same as God. As we grow up and we get to know him, God really wants to share with us the things that he cares about, so we can care about them too. This is what it says in Philippians. This is my prayer, that you will be filled to overflowing with the fruit of right living. That means doing what Jesus did. But the thing is, I can't really really just turn around and say to God, well, what do you like doing? Let's hang out together. Let's go to the park and swing on some swings. Can I do that?
No.
No, because unlike John, I can't just go, Rod, to God, can I? So how do I know what God cares about? What he thinks is important, what he loves, what he enjoys doing. How do we know that? Can we know that? Maybe we can't. Can we? You think we can? So how do we think? Now, you guys have been really good at answering questions today. How do you think we can find out?
Reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible. And what bits in the Bible particularly are really helpful?
The holy parts.
The holy parts. I love that. That's cool. Yeah, not the holy parts, because then you couldn't read, because then wouldn't you be able to see them. But the holy parts. The bits, maybe, about a particular person in the Bible who might be really helpful in seeing what he used to do.
Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew is one of the books. That's exactly right. Who was the big person in Matthew, the key person in the book of Matthew that Matthew wrote about? Matthew was the guy that wrote a book in the Bible. Yeah?
Jesus.
Jesus. Come on. The answer's always Jesus. Give me a high five. Sorted. You see, we've got the Trinity here, haven't we? God the Father loves us unconditionally. The Holy Spirit is teaching us to make good choices and to live our lives. And thirdly, Jesus came to earth, didn't he? And he was on earth for about 33 years, people reckon. Now, 33 years is a decent amount of time to do a few things, isn't it? And the Bible, just as you said, writes about the things that Jesus did. So we know the things that were really important to God. Now, I want us to have a little bit of a brainstorm, because I think that if they were really important to God, he might want them to be really important to us too. So all of you, because I do have a tendency to go to the back and ask people who think they're hiding, all of you, I want to come and think about, what do you think the things are that God cares about? Will someone come do some writing for me on the board? Peter? Is Peter there? Paul, would you come and write on the board for me? So what things do you think that Jesus cared about that you can remember some stories? Think of some of the stories of the things that he did. What kind of things? Think about ways he treated people. Were there people that he really cared about?
Children.
Children. He really cared about children. He did. That's right. Yeah.
Abraham.
Abraham. Yeah, Abraham was the chosen. That was the first person God chose. That's amazing. He really cared about Abraham. He really did.
David.
Now, these are lots of names of people. I want to think, can you think of some stories about Jesus? Did he heal people who were sick?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what kind of people who did he maybe heal or do some miracles?
He did one healing. He healed one dead person.
So he really cares about people who have lost people. So when people have died, he really cares about the people left behind, because he did that just to show how much he cared for them. So people who were grieving, who were sad.
He healed the man who couldn't walk.
Isn't that awesome? So Jesus cares about people who are sick. So he really cares about people who are sick. What else does he care about?
Animals.
Animals, exactly right. Do you know what? He really does care about animals. There was a saint called St. Francis of Assisi who's known for really caring about animals, and he was a follower of Jesus. And so God really cared about that.
People that are blind.
People that are blind, that's right. So he healed, again, people that were sick. Go on, Daphne. Let's get some ideas thrown from the back.
Orphans and widows.
Orphans and widows. So people who are alone in the world and need help. Come on, guys, start flicking through that Bible. What other things does God care about? What does he do in the Old Testament, in the New Testament? Do you know what? I think he cares about creation. Created the world, didn't he? So I think he really cares about how we look after the world. What else do you think he cares about? Oh, I've got the hand up here.
Children.
Children, that's exactly right. I think he really cares about children. He says, always let children come to me.
Prayer.
He loves it when we talk to him, doesn't he? He really loves that.
Water,
he does care about water. Water is very important so people can live. And he turned into wine, which is even better sometimes. And he also, do you know what? Jesus really cared about people speaking the truth about God. He sometimes got really upset when some of the people who were called Pharisees and teachers of the law told us, people like you and me, about things that weren't really true about God. And he really wanted us to know just how much God loved us and how much he cared for us. So can you see, there's so many different things, thanks so much, Paul, so many different things that Jesus cared about that he wants us to care about too and to have a heart for, to look, to make sure children are looked after and respected and encouraged. This is Sophie, Paul's little one. To care for people who are sick. And Jesus prayed for people who were sick so we can care for people who are sick. People who are sad, who might need an arm around them. Animals, to make sure they're well looked after and not mistreated. Orphans and widows who need support because they're all alone in the world. Creation, looking after the things that God has made and given to us. And making sure that we taught the truth about God. So, what happens next? What happens after we started to grow up in the family of God? I've got a mirror here. Hands up, who thinks that Amelia, is Amelia still here? Amelia, yeah, go on, Paddy, have you got Amelia? Yeah. Hold up Amelia and Paddy, you stand up. Who thinks that Amelia looks remarkably like Paddy? There is a general consensus, isn't there, that Paddy is definitely the daddy. They look, and they also very much looks like Sally as well. But I haven't had an awful lot of people coming up and saying, wow, doesn't she look like Paddy? She looked like Paddy. And the thing is, who else has ever been told that they, particularly maybe as you get older, that you look like your mum or your dad? Who's ever had that? Who's ever had that? Oh, you look like your mum or your dad. I have. I've also been told that sometimes I make decisions just the way my mum would make them. And sometimes I like the same things that my dad likes. I become a little bit like my mum and my dad, and sometimes that's a bit freaky for John. And do you know what? That's the same thing that happens in Jesus' family. As we grow up and as we spend time with him, do you know what happens? We end up looking a little bit like Jesus. Does that sound slightly ridiculous? If you look in the mirror, do you think you see Jesus? Do you think you see Jesus? Well, the thing is that that's what happens. Because what happens is when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, he enables us to know that we're loved unconditionally, and so we're able to love other people. Teaches us to make the same choices that he would make, so we're starting to walk out in the same way the Holy Spirit would walk out, and we're starting to care about the same things that Jesus would care with. Now, do you know what Paul says, why this is so important? He says, God wants us to look a little bit like him to give glory and praise to God. Because what it does is it says we're made by God. And if we're showing a little bit of God, that means other people can get to know him. And what I'm so grateful for is that Paul says in the letters to the Philippians, if we go on to the next one, is that he's always there to help us to do this. The God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So you see, when you welcome Jesus into your life, it's not like a bang, one-off event, and then we all go home. It's a journey that we start on. So I'm going to do something up the front, and I need a couple of helpers to help us think about what it means. So I need two adults just to come and help me bring this table onto the stage. Can I have a couple of guys to give me a hand? Thanks, Peter, and one other. Wilson, would that be all right? Just to bring up on the stage for me. This way around, but not. Don't flick those down yet. Sorry, that was me. I went too close to the speaker. Now, who wants to come and help me? I need a speaker, someone who's willing to read something for me, and I need a person that's happy to get their hands dirty. Who's a speaker? Hands up if you want to speak. And who's the hands dirty? Come up. Now, what's your name?
Ronan.
Ronan?
Savik.
Savik, oh, that's a beautiful name. Wow. Okay, so Ronan, you're the speaker, so you are going to need to hold this, okay? And you are going to need to come with me. I'll take this around the back. So, we're going to do something very exciting today. You're watching. I need you to hold this. And you need to come down the front so you can read these. When we start on a journey with Jesus, it's a little bit like, what does this say?
Put seed in ground.
It's a little bit like when we put a seed into the ground. Now, we have some special seeds here bought by James. And these are called nasturtium seeds. Can you see them? They're quite small. Now, what I need you to come and do is I need you to use that pencil and put two holes in, kind of there and there into the soil. That's it. Brilliant. Now, will you drop two seeds in? That's it. And then cover them over with soil. Brilliant. Now, what does that mean?
Invite Jesus into your life. Choose to live for him.
So when you plant that seed, do you want to put two more in there? Here you are. That's like when we invite Jesus into our life and we choose to live for him. Then what does a seed need? Who knows what a seed needs? Water. What else does a seed need?
Sun.
What else does care? It does. What else does a seed need? Yeah? Soil, it does, it needs all those things. Will you read out what I've written down? You've had some better ideas than me as well.
Add
fertilizer, that means food.
Add fertilizer, water, and soil.
Brilliant. So, what you need to do after you've planted a seed is you need to add all those things. Now, what does that mean in our journey with Jesus?
Read the Bible, pray, belong to a church.
So all those things. So that's how we get to know that God loves us, and how we get to make good choices like the Holy Spirit, and how we get to find out what Jesus cares about by reading the Bible, by praying, and by belonging to a church which is filled with other people that love Jesus too. We are planting some fantastic seeds here. That's it. Who needs pencils when you can have fingers? So what happens when you care about those plants?
Plant grows flowers.
Plant grows and flowers. Now, James has those were nasturtium plants that we put in. Now, this nasturtium has finished flowering really for the summer. But this is kind of what it's going to look like. Isn't that amazing? But there's going to be loads and loads of flowers on it. And actually, there you can see up there, you can see the seeds that we put in. And you see how it grows and how it flowers. And what does that say?
Gives glory and praise to God.
So is this amazing? This is just like God's creation, isn't it? That we've planted a seed in the ground, we've looked after it, we've cared for it, and it's grown and it's flowered and it gives glory and praise to God. Will you give these guys a round of applause? Oh, there's the water. We'll water them later. Thank you so much, guys. That's brilliant. You can take a seat. Now, who came here early this morning and has been drawing a picture? I had some of these handouts, didn't I? And the guys at the front, this is what we get to do at the beginning of the family service, we get a little game or something to do. I asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Now, what did you draw?
A man.
A man, you want to be a man. Good stuff. What did you draw?
Person.
A person, brilliant. Who drew that they wanted to be a swimmer? That was you. Do you want to be a swimmer when you grow up?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. What else did people draw? Did anyone think about, I asked you, what did you think you would look like? Or what did you put down?
When I grow up, I want to be a swimmer.
You want to be a swimmer too? Wow, so we've got a couple of Olympic champions coming up here. So what I got you to think about is what you thought you might look like when you grew up. Now, what I want us to do now is at the end of our family service, we always have a little bit of time before the end of the service just to have a little think about what we talked about today, to see if there's somewhere that it touches us that we want to think about. So what I want you all to think about, because we're all on a journey, we're all growing up in the family of God, no matter what age we are, I want us to think about where we are at that journey. Have we even in the ground? Maybe we have. haven't chosen that we want to join the family yet, so maybe we're not in the ground. Or maybe we are. Maybe we've said, yeah, I want to belong to that family. So maybe you're thinking, God, I need to add a little bit of water or a little bit of sun or a little bit of fertilizer. Or maybe you feel that you've been growing for quite some time and you can almost look back on what you've done, but you also really want to press on, be more and more like Jesus and what he was doing and what he cared about. So what we're going to do now is, I think we've got a quiet DVD that Mark is going to put on now. And on the screen, so there's going to be some videos of plants growing. They're taken in quick time. So you can see plants growing. And I want you to think about what maybe God has put in your heart so that you can grow up in the family of Jesus. And maybe if you want to invite, you want to say, actually, God, I really fancy some of that. I really want to be a part of your family. Can I come in? And maybe just allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to you and encourage you, and that God the Father would show you just how much he loves you. So we're just going to take 2 minutes of quiet now. So get comfy. And if you're at the back, you can either watch the videos or shut your eyes. And we'll just have a few minutes to think about what it means to be part of God's family. Is that one coming, Mark, or should we? Brilliant. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you today that just as Amelia has become part of Paddy and Sally's family and will always be part of their family, we just thank you so much that you have invited us to become part of your family, and that you love us, and that you want to teach us how to make good choices and how to live our lives, and also to care about the things that you care about. So we just pray that today you will just pour a special blessing upon Paddy and Sally and Amelia and all the friends and all the relatives who have traveled to come and celebrate this special day with them. We just thank you so much for Amelia and how she's going to grow up. And we just pray that she will get to know you just as her mummy and daddy do. So Lord Jesus, we just put all of these things into your hands and ask for your special blessing. And everybody says, amen. Mm-hmm.